Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of having hope in the midst of the chaos, the increasing chaos in our country and in our world as the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world draws nearer. We've been on a series for a number of weeks discussing the fact that God has a plan, a big picture. His plan is to have sons and daughters with whom he can live forever on this earth, made new. That's what redemption is all about. That's what God is working toward, to draw men to himself. He calls and invites all men to himself through faith in Christ. When men and women respond and bow their knee to Jesus as Savior and Lord, they become sons and daughters of God, literal sons and daughters of God, born of God. And a process of transformation begins that will make us holy and righteous in every part of our being. Jesus will come again in the not-too-distant future to cleanse this earth of all trace of corruption and death and establish the visible kingdom of God on this earth. All those who've put faith in Christ will be reunited with their original bodies, raised from the grave, to live on this earth forever, life as it was always meant to be. That's the big picture. And knowledge of what's ahead can make this life easier to deal with. The great apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 verse 18 said, I reckon that the sufferings of this life don't even begin to compare with what awaits us. You need to understand that a plan is unfolding, and that knowledge will give you hope in the midst of the chaos that's coming on this earth. The Bible is very clear that the years leading up to the return of Jesus will become increasingly difficult. It has a lot to say. The Bible has a lot to say about world conditions at the return of the Lord, and those conditions are setting up even now. They don't come out of a vacuum. They've been setting up and will continue to do so. And sometimes it's hard to watch the changes that are occurring in our world. But if you know what's going on, that it's going to end well, that a good end is ahead, it gives you hope in the midst of it. Now, we left off yesterday talking about Peter. In his first epistle, in the context of the return of the Lord, he made the statement that we're kept by God's power through faith unto the coming of the Lord. We're guarded by God's power. See, that's a source of hope right there. We're guarded by God's power in the midst of the chaos. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Peter is one of Jesus' disciples, obviously, but he's one of the ones who asked Jesus what signs would indicate his return is near. We've talked about this several times over the past couple weeks. Just a few days before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus and his disciples went into the temple, and as they were coming out, several of the disciples were pointing out all the wonderful buildings that made up the temple complex, and Jesus told them that the temple was going to be destroyed. Now, even though it was the center of their religious, cultural, and political life, they weren't freaked out by what Jesus said. I mean, you would think it would be like somebody saying to us that New York City and Washington, D.C. are going to be destroyed. Your first reaction might be, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How will we survive? What will happen to the stock market? What will happen to the business world? What will happen to our government? Well, oh my goodness. What Jesus told them was on the magnitude of us hearing that New York and Washington, D.C. are going to be destroyed. But they did not freak out. Instead, they simply asked Jesus when and what signs would precede his coming. Now, how could they not be freaked out by his statement that the heart of their religious, cultural, and political life was going to be wiped out? Well, they weren't alarmed because they knew from the writings of the Old Testament prophets that the world as it is right now, filled with sin, corruption, and death, is coming to an end, and that the earth is going to be made new, not destroyed, but made new as the conditions of Eden are restored and the kingdom of God is established on earth. We could do whole lessons on this. I could show you lots and lots of verses, but that was their picture of reality. They knew that earth as it is, filled with sin, corruption, and death, is coming to an end and is going to be made new as the conditions of Eden are restored and the kingdom of God is established on this earth. And they also knew from the Old Testament prophets that this happy outcome would be preceded by a time of calamity with Jerusalem actually being attacked. The book of Zechariah, let me just read a couple of verses here. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That's a pretty amazing statement. That was written 500 years before Jesus came to earth, but it's talking about Jerusalem being the center of the world's attention. How did this guy know to write that? Zechariah, well, he knew it because the Spirit of God knows it, and he inspired him. Jerusalem was nothing in those days, in one sense. But now, and on one level, it's nothing today. It's just a city in the world, but yet it's got the attention of the world. You turn on the news and you can hardly hear a newscast without Jerusalem or Israel being mentioned. Now let me turn to the next one. We could do whole lessons on this. This is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord is how the Old Testament saints prophets phrased the second coming of Jesus. They didn't know at that point there'd be two separate comings. Once as a suffering servant who'd go to the cross, and then again as the conquering king who takes control of the earth. They thought it was all the same, and they didn't even know Jesus' name yet. So they called it the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord to establish his kingdom on the earth. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. Let me just stop right there. There's tons of stuff in there we're not going to explain. But Peter and the other disciples were familiar with the fact that Jerusalem was going to be attacked in prior to the coming of the Lord. They weren't freaked out by that because they knew God's people would make it through. Let me turn to the prophet Joel. He wrote a lot about the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, as he phrased it. And he wrote a passage which was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost. You're going to recognize it. Now, I'm actually reading from Joel chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 28. But you'll recognize that Peter spoke this in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Cost. After he and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the crowd heard them and saw them and thought they were drunk with new wine, and Peter got up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he said, and it shall come to pass, I'm reading now, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Now, I'm not going to explain any of that because we don't have time, but Peter quoted that on the day of Pentecost. But let me read the very next verse, okay? All these calamitous events are going to precede the coming of the Lord. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, you've heard that verse before. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's in Romans chapter 10. It's part of the Romans Road deal. If you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. The very next verse says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the very first time that verse, those words were written, it was by the prophet Joel in the context of the calamity preceding the coming of the Lord to establish his kingdom. And the Spirit of God, through Joel, said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered or saved out of the calamity of those days. So when Jesus told Peter and the other disciples, Jerusalem's going to be, the temple's going to be destroyed, they presumed he was referring to Jerusalem being attacked just prior to the Lord's return, and they knew that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered from the chaos. Now, Peter didn't live to see the second coming of the Lord, obviously, because it hasn't taken place yet. And as you recall, he was martyred for his faith. He was crucified upside down. But you'll also remember he is the one who gave us a detailed explanation about Earth's ultimate transformation and deliverance from corruption and death. We've looked at this before. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. He says, the earth will be dissolved and the elements shall melt. Dissolved and melt there mean loosed. God will speak his word, and his word, like a fire, will loose this earth from bondage to corruption and death, and it will be made new. Now, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. After Peter described the coming transformation of this earth, let me throw this in. When he wrote this letter, he knew he was about to die. Chapter 1 tells us that. He knew he was about to be martyred for his faith. He was about to enter the unseen heaven. Listen to what are almost his last words. We're almost at the end of his letter. He knows he's about to die. Nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. He died with the hope of what's to come, the earth made new and us coming back to live on it. Peter hasn't ceased to exist. He's in the invisible heaven, enjoying its wonders as he awaits a return to earth to be reunited with his original body to live here forever. He's going to have his part in the kingdom of God on earth. The certainty that Jesus' first followers would have a part in the kingdom didn't mean that they weren't going to die. Everybody dies, but it's not bigger than God. 1 Corinthians 15:28 calls death the last enemy to be put underfoot. And if we were to read the whole context, it's in the context of resurrection of the dead. Peter is part of those who've gone on before us, the family of God in heaven, who watch our progress because they're excited about the plan that's about to be completed. My goal in these lessons is to get you excited about the plan so you have hope. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.